Blood on the streets, troops pitted against demonstrations, cities under curfew. Egypt today is looking more and more like the days before the ouster of Hosni Mubarak. The country's first democratically elected president is accused of betraying the revolution, while some say he should be given time to pull Egypt out of the ruins of decades of dictatorships. Others argue to save the revolution, it's either now or never. This is the debate.
Clashes, tear gas, and violence. Anti-government protests rage in Egypt for the fifth consecutive day. Anti-government rallies have been taking place in Cairo, Alexandria, Suez, and half a dozen other cities, many of which have become violent. On Monday, fresh clashes erupted between police and protesters in the capital, Cairo, leaving yet another person dead. Riot police fired tear gas at stone-throwing protesters in central Cairo a day after President Mohamed Morsi declared a state of emergency in riot-hit cities. Morsi vowed to deal firmly and forcefully with the unrest roiling the country. In order to curb the violence, the government approved the law on Monday, allowing the president to deploy armed forces on the streets. It gives the army the right to arrest civilians. The bill was later passed by the Shura Council, the upper house of parliament. The eruption of violence has plunged Egypt once again into political turmoil. The recent wave of violence has taken the lives of over 50 people. Hundreds of others were also injured in the unrest. Some observers blame the policies of the country's new leadership and the slow pace of change for the unrest.
We can't see an achievement. We can't see stability in the streets of Egypt. We cannot see employment has been improved. We cannot see education has been improved. We cannot see economy has been improved. So what is achievement to you? That people demonstrating in the street? Is that what we call achievement?
Also on Monday, Egypt's main opposition coalition rejected the president's call for national dialogue to end the unrest. The leaders of the National Salvation Front say the president's proposal is empty of content and not genuine. They say they will attend future talks only if a list of conditions is met.
In short, we will not go to the dialogue today. We will send a message to the Egyptian people and to the President of the Republic of what we think are the essentials of dialogue. If he agrees to them, we are ready for dialogue.
The opposition leaders also called for nationwide protests to be held on Friday to achieve what they describe as the goals of the revolution. They accuse Morsi of hijacking the revolution, listening only to his allies, and breaking a promise to be a president for all Egyptians. However, some analysts believe the situation inside Egypt is highly affected by the foreign policy of the previous regime that was dependent to the West.
The situation inside of Egypt has been severely affected as a result of the foreign policy of the previous government of Hosni Mubarak, the National Democratic Party, their close links with the U.S., successive American administrations, and also the separate peace treaty with the State of Israel during the late 1970s. These agreements have stifled the overall developmental trajectory of the Egyptian government.
On the second anniversary of Egypt's revolution, political tensions are still simmering and economic woes are biting. Such issues raise the question that how close or maybe how far Egypt is in achieving the revolution's demands.
You are watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guests from Cairo with the Islamic thinker, Mr. Shakir Rizk, with us also live from London. I'd like to introduce founder of the Egyptian UK Association, Mr. Mustafa Ragab, and with the Africa Desk of Executive Intelligence Review, Mr. Lawrence Freeman, with us live from Washington. Welcome, gentlemen, to this edition of The Debate. First, my question to our guest in Cairo, Mr. Rizk. Egypt's main opposition group called Morsi's offer of talks today empty of content and not genuine. First of all, would you agree with that?
Well, I would disagree to this because this is the third time that President Morsi called for the national dialogue, and the opposition parties embodied in the National Salvation Front would refuse and reject this sort of dialogue. They have certain conditions before they go into the dialogue, which is rejected by the presidential office. And any dialogue should go and proceed without any conditions, and let's sit to the table and have the conditions put in there for the construction of the country, not the destruction of it. The five conditions that were put by the Salvation Front were actually against what the President Morsi actually asked for. First of all, they asked for a committee for investigation for what the violence which happened in Port Said and in the canal area, which actually President Morsi mentioned yesterday and actually stated yesterday. They were asking for the another committee for the constitution amendment, and actually there was a sort of a national dialogue which took place a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, over 3 weeks, and they came out with certain amendments that would be put in the People's Assembly after being elected. The Prosecutor General, it's to be renominated or to leave his office, which is actually not in the hands of anybody but the President.
Right,
and
Mr.
the President
I'll stop you there if I may.
He's the one who nominated the prosecutor.
Yeah, I'll stop you there if I may. You referred there to the conditions that have been set by the opposition and the fact that you say a lot of these conditions have already been met. But let's just go to our guest in London on this. Mr. Raghab, preconditions for talks are now, as our guest there was saying, the amendment of the constitution. Also, we're hearing the formation of a national salvation government. Do you see these demands as reasonable?
Let me tell you first that we are very disappointed.
Let's allow our guest in London, Mr. Rizga, answer this, and we'll come back to you. Mr. Raghab.
Tell you first, we are very disappointed and very angry to see those scenes on the street of Egypt. Our heart is broken to see our country and to see this is happening there. But what I say to what you ask, why the president ask the opposition to meet him after every crisis? When our friend in Cairo, Mr. Riz, say open a dialogue is an ongoing conversation. What the president is asking, he is asking for an emergency meeting, not for a dialogue. Does he ask to meet them because he believes that they hold the key to his problems? Is he seeking their help? The president should be talking to his advisors, and he should be taking the right advice from his advisors. Has he got advisors to guide him? Has he got anybody to tell him about his decisions and the reaction of the streets? What will it be? We are very frustrated to see this is happening. Obviously, it is clear that the president is failing to deliver. That is why those people who are not a couple of hundreds or a couple of thousands are on the streets of Cairo. This is a very bad sign for the performance of the government.
Yeah. Now, the question right now is, a lot of people who have been talking to us via Facebook or Twitter or SMS have been telling us about the factors that are involved in the current unrest in Egypt. Before I put my next question to Mr. Freeman in Maryland here, I'd just like our viewers to see one of the comments that's been posted on our Facebook page. Let's take a look right now to that comment and see what people have been telling us. Now, this is just one of the comments which have been made on our Facebook page, but there have been a lot of comments similar to this one in terms of content. This one saying, social injustice, foreign interference of the USA, Israel, Persian Gulf, Arab states, and remnants of the ousted regime of Hosni Mubarak. Arabio Kokos has mentioned that on our Facebook page as the reasons behind the current unrest in Egypt. Let's go to Mr. Freeman on this now. Now, Mr. Freeman, would you say that external factors are also involved in the violence that we're seeing in Egypt?
To some degree, yes. The overall situation now, after 2 years since the original Arab Spring, is that legitimate desires and aspirations of the Egyptian people and many other people in North Africa and the Middle East have not been satisfied. And there has been a conscious intervention by outside forces, including the United States under President Obama, including Great Britain, following the policy of Tony Blair, the former prime minister, an advocate of regime change, have interfered. And these the West, Obama, and the British would rather see more chaos and destabilization than actually promote policies for the development of these nations. What you're seeing right now is the Egyptian nation state is being undermined and potentially destroyed. The economic conditions have gotten worse. The original desires for people to have jobs, to have upward mobility, to be able to take care of those families, which stirred up the whole revolution 2 years ago, have not been met. And they will not be met under the current policies of the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the West, because there is no policy for economic development and for building up these nations. So unless we actually get commitment for a real policy of economic growth for Egypt, I fear that these disruptions, demonstrations, and killing, which also breaks my heart, will continue because the policy, there's no policy which has a vision for a better future right now in Egypt.
Well, let's go to Cairo on this right now. I guess Mr. Rizk okay. there. Now, Mr. Rizk, all right. We did, of course, mention there the influence of external powers, but also one criticism that the Egyptian government itself is facing right now is how it's responding to this unrest, to this violence. We had the opposition saying that the response is too much about security rather than it being about politics. They're saying that President Morsi has proven to be incapable of dealing with this crisis because of the heavy-handed security tactics that it's using, reminding people of the days of Hosni Mubarak.
Well, I think that the problem that President Morsi is facing is actually inherited from President Mubarak. And this is the hatred that the people, especially in the canal area, have against the Ministry of the Interior and the police in particular. And I think that solving this sort of problem requires time because the leaders of the police and the interior and need to be taken out from their positions, and we need to have sort of new groups with new mentality to deal with the people in a democratic free nation mm-hmm. after the revolution. What the crisis that took place 4 or 5 days ago actually was a burden on President Morsi and the Minister of the Interior. And he could not solve the problem. He underwent a lot of problems, and they used violence against people, which is actually condemned by all parties. But the sort of the violence that took place by the police actually is a reaction to the violence by the mob
okay.
who went to the prisons and to the police stations to burn them and to take out the prisoners.
Yeah, okay, I guess in London now, Mr. Agab,
the thing intervention, is, yeah. I would say that the United States...
Yeah, Mr. Rizk, if I could just stop you there, we'll come back to you. I guess in London now, the thing is, a lot of people are saying that the Egyptian president is right now the first democratically elected president that the people of Egypt are seeing, that he needs time to lead this democratic process for elections to be held. And the fact that this violence in the streets are happening are just working against the revolution. I mean, we had one Facebook commentator telling us that I don't understand, he was saying, my brothers in Egypt, they wanted change. Change has now come, but now they want change again. Where is this country headed? A lot of concerns there. Do you agree that we do need to give time to the new government?
People are willing to give time if they see a plan, if they see some dialogue with the people themselves. Not just after every crisis the president called for the opposition to sit with him and help him. The dialogue should be open with the Egyptian people. The president should be talking to the people, outlining his plans to improve the economy, And we should have the president who have the ability to win the sympathy and the support of the people. If the people in the streets are behaving in the way they're behaving, they most definitely not happy with the government performance. Then the president should be talking to them, should be opening the dialogue with them. We have blood on the streets. The police and the army should never fire a bullet on any human being in Egypt unless they were pointing the gun at them, and they make 100% sure that this bullet is aimed at the person who aiming the gun at them, not at civilians who armless, who losing their lives every day. There is a lot of tactics for the police and the army to stop those people from doing trouble in the streets, not necessarily by firing at people and killing them. We completely oppose that.
Yeah, okay. Now, one thing that's been raised a lot, I'd just like to mention here, we're a little short of time, that's why I'm breaking into your comments there. Our guest in Maryland now, a lot of the media is speaking about the dominance of the Muslim Brotherhood right now in Egypt and a lot of concerns about Islamic elements gaining all power in the state. Now, would you say that this is a state run by the Muslim Brotherhood and this is a concern, do you think? And is this something that is making a lot of outside powers worried?
Yes, it is. There is definitely a direction that we're seeing for a certain kind of dictatorial policy coming from the current government. And I might add that the move by support that the Muslim Brotherhood is receiving from, for example, President Obama is not different from what we're seeing throughout other parts in Syria, in Mali and other countries where we have British, Saudi Arabian, Qatari-supported Islamic forces, Salafist, Wahhabites, who are also destabilizing various countries throughout the entire Middle East and North Africa. This is a very serious concern. And why the United States has supported this effort the way they have in Egypt, we're supporting the current leadership without actually supporting any decent policy and the support of the Al-Qaeda crowd in Syria, as we did in Libya, this is very dangerous to the entire region.
Yeah, let's just go back to another of our Facebook comments right now. I'd just like our viewers to see this comment as well. The one that tells us about this Muslim Brotherhood issue. One of our viewers has written, "The Muslim Brotherhood victory." We're going to see that comment appear right now in our Facebook. And as I've said before, this and similar comments being viewed a lot. "The Muslim Brotherhood victory was a shock to the West, and all efforts are now to cause unrest in the state." To address Olade Khan, one of our viewers writing that. Now let's go to Cairo, Mr. Rizk. Do you think that this Muslim Brotherhood victory, as our Facebook viewer there was saying, was a shock to the West, and that there is this effort against the Muslim Brotherhood? And would you say that the Muslim Brotherhood actually is dominating the state now in Egypt?
Well, I think that this is a fallacy that the West is actually propagating. And I don't think that the Muslim Brotherhood is shocking the West because of their performance, not because their agenda that is against the Western and the American agenda. And the freedom given to the people who are attacking the president and the cabinet every day, every second, without having any violent action against any of them, is actually an evidence that this is what the West and the Americans need to see in Egypt. But the thing that I wanted to mention at the very beginning, which was the external intervention in Egypt, which is actually mentioned in a lot of reports given through many people like the Black Blocs, who announced this very verbally on the press a couple of days ago and today, and a lot of other factions, especially the liberals, who said that they have some sort of agenda that is against the Muslim Brotherhood in particular. They are not against the regime, they are not against the country, but they are against the Muslim Brotherhood. Those are losers, because those who went to the ballot box and lost for three elections and the referendum and two referenda, actually, those are the ones who are propagating and saying that the West is shocked.
Yeah, Mr. Rizk, I'll stop you there, if I may. I'm really sorry. We've got just under... Mr. Rizk, I'll stop you because we've just got under 3 minutes left before the programme ends. Let's just get the concluding remarks. Mr. Raghab in London, there are a lot of people saying that Israel, the United States, especially when it comes to Israel, are looking at the direction that Egypt is going right now. Do you think that there is an anti-democratization effort against Egypt, and what should be done about it?
What I'd say in politics, everything is possible, and obviously the United States would like to make sure of the security of Israel, and what is happening in Egypt is very much suit them. But what I'd like to say is it's not a shock that the Muslim Brotherhood have won the election. Everybody knew that the Muslim Brotherhood were going to win the election. They were talking to the United States before the election. They were talking to everyone. They made sure that they made people comfortable and feel that they would be safe with the Muslim Brotherhood government. So a shock is not there. Everybody knew they were going to win. And we said ourselves, people have to prepare themselves for a Muslim Brotherhood government. But why everything in Egypt now is a Muslim Brotherhood? Why do they have to reward everyone who suffered in the time of Mubarak or in the time of Sadat or in the time of Nasser?
Mr. Raghab, I'll stop you there if I may. I'm really sorry. People? Just under a minute left. Let's just give the concluding remarks to our guest in Maryland on this. Now, Mr. Freeman, would you say that none of the goals of the revolution have been achieved as of yet, that no step has been taken forward, just a figurehead has been removed?
The goals have not been met. This democracy is much, much more than having an election. The economic conditions are terrible. Unemployment is massive. There's not enough food for the people. And look, there was a deal worked out, no question about it, between President Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood to support this government. That is a fact, and President Obama has supported other related movements around the world. So there's not a conflict. This is a rotten policy coming from the United States and Great Britain, and it's not helped the Egyptian
right.
people any more. And therefore, the revolution will continue in the streets.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lawrence Freeman from Maryland speaking to us there with the Africa desk of the Executive Intelligence Review. A big thank you to a guest in Cairo, Islamic thinker Mr. Shakir Rizk, and founder of the Egyptian-UK Association, Mr. Mustafa Raghab, with us live from London. Thank you very much, everyone, for staying with this edition of The Debate. Stay with us for more.